You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, not a bad Mickey Mouse impression right there from old Morales. I don't know if what Emily's put together for Ireland exactly would be described as a tribute, Al. I don't think that's the proper noun.
Yeah,
but it's good.
Okay,
I can tell you that.
I'm confused. I got no idea what's...
Oh, you haven't heard it yet?
I haven't heard anything.
It's good. Emily went to the editing board and put together, what are you calling it, Em? A diss track?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's okay. About his antics of late.
And when are we going to play that?
Well, it's a good question. We could play it sooner than later. Mm-hmm. We could also play it, you know, we're definitely going to play it during Super Crosstalk because I need John to hear it, obviously. But we should probably play it before.
We'll draw it out. Yeah,
we'll,
yeah. We got time.
We'll play it before.
It's 3 hours and 12 minutes.
Indeed it is.
3 hours and 10 at this point.
Did you stay for Fantasmic?
I did not
stay. Do you know what Fantasmic is?
No, I do not know.
Fantasmic is the thing they do on the river. Where they do some fireworks and some laser beams and some, you know, like fire shows, and the boat goes by and everybody dances on the boat and has a good time.
So this is, what is that, the 9 o'clock?
That,
something like that?
Yeah, it's right
fireworks
before
at, I think,
the
9,
fireworks.
9:30.
Fireworks, okay, I believe, are 9:30. It's before the fireworks. So once it's dark is when they do it.
Did not stay that long, but probably was there till, we're talking 8:30-ish.
Okay.
That's pretty decent. I mean,
so you probably got there around
2:30. 2:30, I'm actually in the park. 2:30, I'm in the park. That's 6 hours.
That's like half of a day.
I know.
Yeah, that's like half of a full Disneyland day is 6 hours.
When I walked in and you got this, wow, yeah, that's kind of cool, you know, here we're at Disneyland. Weather, by the way, I mean, yes, a little chilly, but still great. Like, give me that all day long.
Cool, had a sweatshirt on most of the day.
Yeah, no, we're good. I'll take that all day long. But walking in, and it's like it's the equivalent of anytime you go to a sporting event, it's like, wow, I'm here.
Yeah.
Right? But I walked in the sixth inning. Like, there are people have been there for 3 hours already.
They queue up before they even open the doors.
Right. So in their mind, they're like, relax, buddy. Just, we've been here for a long time. Keep the line moving.
Yeah, you're ready to go. You're ready to fire. Hey, what are we going to do, guys?
Keep the line moving.
You're like, can we just get a
Coke? It's actually, to be honest with you, pretty fun.
Did you have a good time?
Yeah, I did. It might have been just because the weather was good. It's still, look, the place is packed. It's Disneyland. I think spring break starts
next week for some.
So a lot of people were already taking time off. But it was reasonable. Lines were reasonable. Kind of kept it moving. I don't know why my sister and my brother-in-law look at Space Mountain as if they are they're going bungee jumping or they're skydiving. They're scared of all these things, so I had to take my nieces on all of them.
Oh, good for you.
Which is actually fun. Me and Lady Slee. So we're taking the kids.
Oh, that's good. No, that's what Uncle Al is supposed to do. Do the things that, you know, hey, come on, let's go do it. You drag them on there. You make them think it's even scarier than it actually is. So when they're done, you're like, that was great.
Yeah, no, I was actually opposite. I was like, look, guys, everything I think is going to be okay, I think, but I'm not 100% sure either.
That's what you're supposed to do. You know, these break occasionally. That's what right when they put that bar
that's
in your lap.
That's the worst idea ever.
I would never do that to my
nieces, uncle used to do that to me every time.
But look, that's okay. I feel like if it was, let's say you were 10 or 11.
Yeah, that's about right.
And I think there's a difference. Like, I would never do that to my niece. I don't have a nephew, but if I had a nephew, I feel like I would.
He'll always go, you know, you read that story about what happened on this one time,
that's
right? And he's making it up. Like, it's all false.
Ever seen Final Destination?
It's all false. He's like, you know, stuff. Or he'll do the thing where everything's fine, knowing it's going to be terrifying. So when it starts, it's like, no, it's really slow. It doesn't go fast. It's not dark. And all it is dark and fast.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
I got bamboozled by Lady Slee. Yeah, I did. Now listen, there was a 5-minute wait for one of the rides. Which ride do you think in 38-degree weather has a 5-minute wait?
Splash Mountain.
Splash Mountain's the one that's got a 5-minute wait.
Of course it does.
All right. And she's like, hey, the girls really want to go on this. I'm like, you know we're going to get wet. we're going to get soaked on this. She's like, no, I think we'll be fine. This, I'm like, what? Nothing changes. It's the same as it would be if it was 107 degrees in the middle of the summer.
Yeah.
So we decided to go on Splash Mountain. The girls really wanted to go on it, so we went on it. I sat up front. She bamboozled me.
Oh, you were the
soaked
tip of the spear?
I'm not kidding. There were people who I didn't even know who said after the ride, we really appreciate you sitting up front.
Yeah. So is that the seat? Is it the front? Because I've been on that thing, I don't know, 100 times or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You either get soaked to the skin.
Yes.
Or not a drop.
Or nothing.
There's no in between. There's no like a light mist on your face to cool off in the middle of August.
No.
It's either soaked to the skin or dry as a bone.
I think it has like, I want to say it has two main drops. The first drop, which is not as deep as the last
the main
drop,
one where
right?
You go yeah. Where everybody can see you.
Exactly, exactly. The first drop, by the time I got on that, and we were just, I took that first drop. I'm talking, Trav, 80% of my jeans soaked.
Not the jeans.
Two layers.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Two layers. I had kind of like a light jacket, and then I had the puffy jacket where when I wear it, all the feathers are everywhere in here, right? I had that one too. And I didn't zip it up enough to wear, so both layers.
Partial wetness.
So, yep. And this is before we even went on the final drop. So by the time I got off, everyone's looking at me like, what the hell just happened to him? I was completely soaked. So to answer your question, they were dry. No problem over there.
What's the one on the other side? The Grizzly Rapids, the raft one, where you spin around as you go down the thing. Yeah. Same thing. You're either, it's like you jumped into the river, or it's like you haven't, you know, you just got
to the park. I was dry at 11:30.
Yeah, it's being wet when it's, did your shoes get wet? That's the worst.
Shoes were actually okay. Okay. Shoes are okay.
Okay.
But Lady Slee, I got bamboozled. Yeah, she's like, no, you're fine. Everything's okay.
You're supposed to.
She's always playing chess. I'm playing checkers.
She's a step ahead. So the $1 million question, or maybe it's more like the $8.95 question. Did you get the corn dog on the way out the door?
Come on.
She's going to be disappointed.
You didn't do it.
Did not get the corn
dog. What?
Did it cross your mind? Did you consider doing it for the bit, if nothing else?
You took a picture of it.
I took a pic. Well, right when I got in, there was like a stand with 9 different type of corn dogs. I'm like, well, that's meant to be.
Appetizing.
Yeah, and one's with a pickle on it, one's everything.
Pickle and a corn dog in the batter?
Yeah, like pickle dog. I haven't had that one yet, but I have seen it.
Is it just a pickle, or is it a pickle and
a
dog?
No, it's a hot dog. I think it's a hot dog inside of a pickle inside of a corn dog that bread egg.
Which, by the way, is not the worst idea I've ever heard out there.
No, I am I'm speechless.
I looked at
that. They're like right next to each other? They're both on the same stick?
It's all on the same stick. It's like a layers of a cake. But instead of a cake, it's corn dog and pickle and hot dog.
So it goes dog, pickle, dog, pickle, dog, pickle, something like that?
No, it's only three. It's only dog, pickle, corn dog breading.
We'll find a picture of it. Basically, whoever created the most difficult building design also did this.
The guy that did SoFi did the pickle dog.
He did SoFi, or he did the pickle dog first, got the confidence to then go do SoFi.
You're blown away. Yes. B, I'm deeply disappointed in myself that I didn't know that this
I
is
a
thing.
I sent you a picture of the dog.
Oh, okay. On my phone?
Yes, right, the ding was just my picture.
That was...
All right, hold on.
It was either that or...
So the dog is inside the pickle.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm intrigued.
I had pickle corn dog.
Emily, have you had this?
I have not had it because I couldn't find it in Disneyland. I actually wanted to look for it. And when I've gone the last two times, I haven't been able to find it. I've only been able to find the normal corn dogs.
Yeah, we'll talk after the show. I'll tell you where it is.
That's...
I'm looking at the same one.
Yeah, that looks amazing. I want that. I need to.
Here's what's kind of funny.
It may be terrible. I don't know, but I definitely want to try.
Here's what's kind of funny. I think part of the reason why I didn't get it, Lady C was like, "We're getting a corn dog here," like in her head.
This was at 2:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah,
that's kind of the perfect time to get it.
Around 2:30, we're actually hungry. Like we want to eat something. Anyways, food is the food, but did not end up with the pickle corn dog, and now,
that looks amazing.
That's kind of interesting.
Why didn't you get it?
I don't know. Just didn't do it for me.
Kind of.
Well, maybe you tried it, or maybe your nieces, the Sleeces, would like it.
They wanted churros, so we went and got churros.
See, this is where Uncle Al needs to show up. Get them both. Like this, the answer, no, I'm not going to do that for you, should never come out of your mouth. You want churros? Yeah, let's go. Let's go find a churro. Churro for you, churro. You want a balloon? Balloon. You want Mickey ears? Mickey ears.
You have that perfect blue pass.
Nobody.
Yeah. Getting a long discount.
Nobody was riding the corn dog train. It was churro. It was should've the pretzel. Is the Mickey Mouse shaped pretzel.
Those are good.
Yeah, those are good.
Those are pretty good. Yeah. Yeah, do you get the cheese with it?
Of course, I got the cheese.
And a little mustard?
No, just the cheese. Yeah, just the cheese.
I like the little half and half. It's just me.
It's a lot of cheese. Let me get a second container there. I don't even think it's cheese. I don't know what it is.
It's like nacho cheese, right? I mean,
which is the worst kind of cheese.
It's also the perfect kind of cheese.
I wanted to compliment the chef.
The best kind of cheese is beer
cheese.
Where
is he? What? What are you talking about? Sir, there's 9 people behind you. Keep it moving.
He's a culinary wizard. He melted some Velveeta, put a little salt in it, and now you dip your pretzel in it. And who says no? That's good. I haven't been to Disneyland in probably a couple years, I guess, maybe, since I've been. But the corn dog with the pickle in the middle is certainly going to accelerate the next visit.
Did you have any wine, participate in the wine and food festival at the California Wine and Food Festival?
So we went there. We were trying to figure out what we wanted to do for dinner. So we're like, okay, are we going off site? Or are we going to just get something here? So we went to California. We had not gone. That was the only time that we gone. We went to actually that exact place. We were a little, it didn't do it for us. So then we decided to just go eat somewhere else. Found a Mexican place to go
off,
eat.
Off property?
Off property.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happens. That happens.
It wasn't a bad setup. Like the idea and the concept was good, but we just didn't. We
six
didn't
hours.
Jump into it.
Yeah. You couldn't hang for 1 hours more hour solid. To see the fireworks? Like you're in for, what's the difference between 6 and 7?
Yeah, here's the unfortunate. My sister told me that it was too windy, so they didn't do the fireworks.
Oh, that happens sometimes. That happens
they
sometimes.
They did something at the castle.
They got this weird thing where they don't want to set anything on fire. I don't know. Yeah. They got rules and stuff that
strange.
They like to follow along the way. UCLA and Gonzaga, a classic last night and a huge blown opportunity for the Bruins. And do we actually have a college basketball rivalry that gets us excited? That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We'll go back today.
Did you do Small World?
Did not do Small World. We basically did
it's
all
good
the 10 big
minutes
ones.
Sitting down.
Oh, we did.
Air
okay, so
dark.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Another good one.
Just sat there the entire time.
Yeah.
We had one ride that good 10 minutes just paused and stopped and wasn't doing
which
anything. What is that haunted house thing? Haunted mansion.
Yeah. Don't worry, it stole your souls too. Like my theory about the Pirates of the Caribbean. Whenever it stalls inside something, it steals your soul a little bit. But anyway, go on.
So the haunted house just stopped, and then there's just a. It says something like
you know. It's weird when that happens. Like yeah. and that happens if you go to Disney. You're gonna
please just don't get out of your right. Doom buggy.
Buggy. Right.
What the hell?
It's fine because it's usually a few seconds, maybe a couple minutes, 5 minutes tops. But occasionally it goes a little longer than that, and they turn on all the lights inside the building. That's weird because you can see however they're like, yeah, this kind of. I understand why they have it dark in here.
I think always in any of those situations where. I think you're always just one thing away from sort of panicking. Like, you want everything to just go smoothly. But if just somebody, a fire alarm goes off, something like that, there's just so many people.
A lot of people.
Like, I don't know what the heck to do. If 5 people start running, do I jog too?
Have you ever had the situation where the ride stops, the lights come on, and then one of the cast members comes out and says, you know what, we're all going to get off and walk out right now.
I've not had one of those.
That's one of those... Okay, can we do it quick? Can we make this happen pretty quick?
The scariest would be if you get stuck on a roller coaster and you have to walk down
Don't even say that.
Just I'll sleep up here.
I have an annual membership there. Do you want me to go back or no?
I saw someone like on TikTok do that at the Incredicoaster.
Nope.
Like they were in like the covered part of the Incredicoaster, had to walk down.
Nope. I'm very happy to sit here for the rest of the night until you guys
get it going again. What do you want me to call it? Six Flags or Magic Mountain?
Magic Mountain.
Magic Mountain. What's the one where you're What's the one where you're literally? I'm forgetting the name of the ride right out the gate, but you're facing the concrete. It's like, what are you gonna stop right there and say, guys, we need a second here. We're gonna need a second here.
Yeah, I don't know that place nearly as well. Other than I don't want to go back. That's the only part I know about Magic Mountain. The rest of it's the one. Tatsu.
Yeah, that's the one.
That sounds bad. So you were at Disneyland last night.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you got to experience the entire roller coaster of emotions that the UCLA Gonzaga game had. It was really, truly awesome to watch. I have no skin in the game. I don't care if Gonzaga wins. I don't care if UCLA wins. Quite frankly, if there was a way they could both lose, I was kind of rooting for that. But that's unlikely to happen.
Aren't you friends with Greg? Don't you want Greg to just have some nice things?
No, I want him to suffer. This is what makes
just like Emily.
Right. I want him to get his heart ripped out and smile at him as it's happening.
The only thing you and I will have together tonight is the fact that your daughter goes.
Yeah, no, I can't root against her. If it were just you,
sure,
go Roll Tide.
Yeah.
but Kelly's involved in it. I'm rooting for them as well. But okay. UCLA looks great in the first half. Jaime Jaquez is going on. They have a 13-point lead at the half. And you're thinking, okay, look, they're in a pretty good spot.
It's funny. I was checking the scores on my phone.
Yeah.
I saw they're up 14.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, all right, well, 14 in college might as well be 28 points.
Not only did they have that lead, but Drew Timmy was playing really well, and they still had that lead. So Timmy was doing, like, the most he could, and UCLA was still like, no, we got this. Second half starts, UCLA goes 11 minutes without getting a basket.
How's that possible?
11 minutes. So this big lead gets chipped all the way down. Gonzaga takes a 10-point lead, right?
Hit a three to go up 10. Yep.
Down 13 at the half to up 10 to now all of a sudden UCLA re-engages in this game. They start playing like the Bruins all over again.
And we're talking with a minute and a half left. They're still down 8-9 points, whatever they were. So they're coming back in such a small stretch.
They make this furious They take the lead with 12 seconds to go, and then Julian Strother knocks down a shot from the logo.
Yep.
Yeah. I really do think it was a 30-footer. It was a good shot. It was an open look, and he just knocked it down. He makes the shot, and it was the weirdest, most exciting kind of back and forth where both teams seemed to have this game in their hands. Both teams blew it, and then all of a sudden UCLA obviously didn't make their shot at the end. But it was just this back and forth thing. But I don't know if I've seen a good team. UCLA is a good team, and I'm not going to pretend that I've watched them play 20 games this year. But
they were basically top five all season.
And a top ranked team doesn't go 11 minutes without scoring a field goal, which they still had the lead with 12 seconds to go. It's not supposed to go like that. It was incredibly exciting, and I'm here to tell you, I'm not so sure that Gonzaga UCLA right now. Not historically, but right now isn't the best rivalry in college basketball. They play each other in the tournament. I believe it's been 3 years in a row. You had that classic Adam Morrison game, a million years ago where they knocked Gonzaga out and went to the Final Four. Not only have they been close games, buzzer beaters in a lot of these games. It's about as good as you can get in college ball right now.
Yeah, listen, I think a lot of what we're looking for in March Madness is not everybody's going to know these teams. Not everybody's going to know these rosters. Not everybody's going to know the details about each one of these universities. Can you get good games? That's what you're asking for. Can you get a game with a couple minutes left that it's close? And then you get two programs that are established, that are known for college basketball, that have a little bit of history. You mentioned the Adam Morrison game a couple years ago. It was Jalen Suggs that hit that three on UCLA. So there's
from
a little bit of history.
Half court, basically.
There is a little bit of history there between those two schools. And yesterday is a kind of a great representation of looking back. And I think I really do believe this, that you're just asking for, can you get a good game from any of these college basketball matchups? Because you just don't know. It could say 8-9. That doesn't mean these two teams are close. 4-5, 2-3. Yesterday was a good game. It was a classic game. That dude that you mentioned hit the three, Julian Strothers, steps into it like, yeah, no, I'm just, he kind of trails the play.
He had not had a good night either. He had not shot the ball well.
Kind of trails the play, already knowing he was going to take it. No hesitation. It's a three. Even the last play by UCLA to have 1.4, 1.7, whatever they had, that's a great drawn-up play to use that much time. I'm with you. That was a fun game to at least come down to the wire.
It's the fourth time UCLA and Gonzaga have played each other in the tournament. Three of the four times they've played, the game-winning basket knocked down inside of 10 seconds.
Mm.
I mean, this is how it gets good. Like, Carolina Duke have a rivalry because they play each other three times a year,
yeah,
right? Twice in the regular season, usually in the tournament, and sometimes they'll face each other in the NCAA tournament like we got last year. This is how you get rivalries, though, that are beyond just we play each other a lot. SC and UCLA have a rivalry because they play every year, right? Ohio State and Michigan have a rivalry because they play every year.
And some of these rivalries are just simply because of where's your school located versus where's my school located.
And you play each other all the time. Mm-hmm. This is not – there's a chance that they won't play each other for years and years and years, and they keep meeting in the NCAA tournament. It keeps coming down to the last shot. It's too – it's good. And Emily, I'm gonna defer to you because you're the college basketball person. You got mad at me when I got this wrong last time. UCLA, I know, is a blue blood. Is Gonzaga a modern blue blood?
It's a new blood.
It's a new blood.
Yes.
Okay, so you have a true blue blood and a new blood.
Yes.
That's how you get fun moments like this. I couldn't, if you gave me two people and said pick Julian Strother, I don't know who he is. Okay? I do know that was awesome last night. And that's what this stuff is, that you got two of those. The K-State-Michigan State game was super fun, went into overtime, close game, right down to the wire.
Had some blowouts, but is okay.
But this was different because we got to see these guys over and over again. Drew Timmy was terrific last night, too.
I always like seeing, especially when you actually get an opportunity to in college basketball, that, hey, I know who that guy is. Right, we don't get that. We don't get that often enough to where we actually know who these players are, and we had some familiar faces for both of them.
He has a good mustache. We got Jaime Hawkins, we know who he is, and Tiger Campbell. Yeah, it's one of the better matchups because it's two coaches we know. We know Mark Few because, you know, he always gets there and hasn't ever won.
Yep.
And then we know Mick Cronin because, you know, he's just hard to not look at.
Mick Cronin looks like a genuine hard ass. Like, he looks like he would be a tough guy to play for. And I mean that as a compliment. Like, this, not one of those put his arm around you and everything's fine and it's all good and I love you no matter what. It's,
yep.
No, I need you to do this or I'm going to find someone else who will. He's got that vibe coming off of him. And you can tell his team plays really hard. And they got, and it kind of sucks, but the good news is when you go to UCLA, and I don't know why this is true, but as far as I can tell it is, you get 37 years of eligibility when you go to UCLA. I believe DTR is going to be a sophomore next year on the football team. And you've got Tiger Campbell and Jaime Jaquez, who I think are just starting their careers, even though they've been there 9 years already. I don't know what it is about UCLA, but guys get to stay there for a very, very long time.
You get 9 years. You get 9 years for any sports that you play.
Let's try a phone call here. Let's go to La Habra and Steve. Steve, you're on with Trav and Slee. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. You know, Mick Cronin, yeah, he does look like he is probably in the Irish Mafia. But I'm going to put this loss on him. You know, I don't understand why the team wasn't driving to the basket when they didn't score, you know, for those 11 and a half minutes. And also at the end of the game, why didn't they pressure the inbounder or the ball coming up the court? They just let them come right up the court, set up that play, hit a three-pointer, game's over, UCLA's out. I mean, they did have that, you know, 7 seconds left that where Campbell got stripped, but still, I don't understand why he didn't pressure the inbounder with some 6'7" athletic guy.
So it's a really good question, Steve, and I'm going to go back to one of the most famous plays in college basketball history. The shot that Christian Laettner, remember when Grant Hill throws it, and Laettner, I think, was 10 for 10 from the floor, catches the ball at about the free line, fakes left, turns back right, knocks down the jumper to beat Kentucky and go to the Final Four, right? It was in the East Regional Final, I believe. One of the most famous shots in NCAA history.
Iconic.
To this day, Rick Pitino, who was the coach of Kentucky at the point, says that it's the biggest coaching mistake of my career not defending the inbound pass. Mm-hmm. That Grant Hill was on the baseline, could see the whole thing, and there wasn't some 6'10", 7-foot guy jumping up and down in front of him. And every time, and I remember him saying that, since then, when you're not defending the inbound pass, it always seems like a bad decision to me. That Steve is right. Now, the guy also made a 30-footer. It's not like they gave up a layup at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Guy knocked down a 30-footer. I can live with that.
He didn't throw the ball away.
Right, right.
There's still something else that he mentioned there that I still kind of am trying to figure out. How do you go 11 minutes? 11 minutes. That's a quarter of the game.
Yeah.
without scoring or without a field goal.
Well, and attack the hoop, right? Mm-hmm. There, a lot of those shots were long jumpers and threes. And, like, if you're in college basketball beyond your freshman
minutes.
Year.
Do you know how long 4-minute stretches?
Oh, it's an eternity.
11 minutes.
It's an eternity. And especially if you're not, like, a high-quality shooting team. And by definition, if you're in college basketball past your freshman year,
then you're not
probably not that guy. Right, you're probably a guy that, I mean, it doesn't mean you can't be good. Drew Timmy's really good. Hawkins is good. Tiger Campbell is good. They're good players, but these guys aren't the second coming of Steph Curry and Dame Lillard and guys that are knocking down shots all over the field. Mm. It was an odd strategy considering, wouldn't you just attack the basket over and over and over again? If nothing else, to knock down some free throws,
nothing's
going down.
So I have a question for you, Slee. So yeah. I actually have two questions. One. Okay. How do you feel about the Aztecs slot? You know, you were annoyed on Saturday because they had the first slot of the day. Yeah. Thought it wasn't the best slot. They are at 3:30 today against Alabama. That's the first question. Two, how is your level of confidence? What are you feeling going into the game?
All right, I'm okay with the slot. In an ideal world.
It's later. It's 3:30.
Yeah, but this is a far worse slot than the one you didn't like.
No, because Saturday was 9:30 in the morning. Right. We had our playing.
Michigan Ohio State football game.
Please do not compare Michigan Ohio State.
We're talking about time slot.
Yeah,
people are in front of their TV at 9:00 on Saturday morning. Nobody's in front of their TV on Friday afternoon at 3:00. It's just TV slot. I'm just saying they put the important things in those slots.
Okay. Was yesterday, what time did UCLA and...
A little after 7, like 7.
6:45.
Yeah. That's like the premier game. That's the time slot that's the premier game.
But it's nearly 10:00 on the East Coast.
It's 10:30 on the West Coast.
I understand
that,
but that's the premier game. Do NBA games. NBA games are 5:30, 6 o'clock. Those are the premier games. Those are the time slots of the premier games. Nobody's playing at Saturday morning in college basketball and you're saying, let's go.
It's college sports. On Saturday morning, that's when people are in front of their TVs.
You are in your own head.
No,
you're not going to budge on it. 9:30 on a Saturday morning for college basketball is not an ideal time slot.
It's an ideal television slot. This is what you're not grasping. Right. It has nothing to do with the product. It has
to
do with
where
people are thinking. Wait, no, I want you to do this.
Travis is right.
That.
We have to approve your soundboard. You can't just
have all
the soundboards.
I have mine. You have yours. I have that. I have this.
Does Travis go deep? Travis goes
so
deep.
I have this. Are you excited?
Super fun season.
I do think, to be honest, kind of house money. I feel like I'm going to go play poker. I already won $200. I'm at the casino. I will take my chances, whatever happens. Listen, if they could just make it a game against Alabama, awesome.
You're missing a part of this.
If they can't, then I kind of understand.
Everybody outside of Alabama is rooting for San Diego State. Alabama is a very hard team to pull for right now.
Yeah.
A very hard because of,
I know.
One of their players may have been involved in getting someone killed. That's kind of a hard thing to root for.
Even without that, they were the number one overall seed. People want the number one overall seed to fall to, but yes, obviously.
It's a brand that people are used to rooting against. There's an ugly story attached to their program right now. And San Diego State, even though they're really good, underdog. Everybody's pulling for your guys.
I was hoping for Dutcher that he won a tournament game. They got kind of lucky, right? Just who they had to play to get there, but I don't really think it matters. Good for
Furman's
the program
really
that they're
play.
In the Sweet 16, so we'll take it.
Emily, is this called like the world premiere of your diss track? What are we calling it?
Yeah, world premiere.
World premiere. Emily put on her, Quincy Jones shoes, put together a little track for John Ireland. That's coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN. So, Emily, I'm going to need you to kind of walk me through this, that the inspiration for your diss track. We know that Al is still, and by the way, I love how you've kind of just let it fade, right? You still owe John for the bucket of water.
Yeah.
And then he lost his mind temporarily and tried to break our trophy.
Monday.
On Monday.
Yeah.
Because we were named the best 7-10 pickleball team, which was a no-brainer, really. We were the best team by a mile, as evidenced by this.
We got our asses handed to us.
We did.
By Travis and Sliwa.
We did. Right. That's Cap and Sedano, obviously. But Emily comes in this morning, and she says to me, I made a diss track about Ireland. So what exactly was the inspiration?
I had been listening to this song. I'm not going to reveal it quite yet, because I think everyone's going to judge me for it. But I had been thinking about this song, and I was like, this is a good song when you're thinking about revenge. Mm. And I was like, maybe This is, again, Sliwa, I think you're, again, you're a secret agent, so you're probably thinking about revenge at all times, but you're not going to show us.
Sure.
You're thinking about revenge at all times. And
that's
so
how it keeps you guessing, throws you off the scent.
Exactly, which is like, I'm trying to get inside your head at the same time. And so I was like, this song really matches, and I wanted to see if I could see, if I could just, you know, make a little piece of imaging here.
All right, so you ready, Al?
Yeah, let's hear it.
What? What are you doing? You did some bad things, but I'm the worst of them. I tried to break it and I broke the wall. Sometimes I wonder which one will be your last lie. No, you know what this is? This is another instance. Morales hates our show and he likes your show. Not. I don't start it, but I can tell you how it ends. I think that, John, you just fired the first shot in a long-lasting war.
A long-lasting war.
I will wait 7 years if I have to. They say looks can kill,
and I might try. Yep. We want to make sure that John gets what's coming to him, and we want it to be as humiliating and as public as possible. Don't get sad, get even. It wasn't that you were angry. It wasn't that you were terribly surprised.
No, it was shocked.
It was, what the hell is happening right now? So on the
weekends. Not a bad song, by the way.
I
don't dress for friends.
Lately, I've been dressing for revenge. I kind of want to take it back.
Well, too late. All right, so that's what you...
Not bad,
eh? Very good job.
Not bad,
I think that's fantastic. That's very, very well done. I do like
that's
that you kind of slow played the whole bucket thing, because that's got to be what,
it was
3
on,
months
it was
ago?
Early January, so...
Yeah, so almost 4 months
Who's
ago.
Who's counting?
Payback's coming.
Who's
payback
counting?
Is coming.
It's funny, the paddle, nobody had any idea. They said, what do you want on the back of your pickleball paddle? Or pickleball racket? And paddle. I had Payback's coming. Everybody's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm like, it's been a while.
I do.
You were the only one that knew what was on there.
I knew what it meant.
And good work there. You're basically your Dr. Dre, your Eminem, your everybody.
Yeah, I think, again, you're similar to Taylor Swift. She might forgive, but she never forgets. So I think that you've forgiven, but you're never going to forget what John did. So, and so I think you're going to hold it over.
Right, was that one of the... recent songs released?
Yes, it's actually a song that came out with the Midnight's album, which is back in October.
It's October.
It's Vigilante S is the name of the song, but I did the clean version.
What sort of mood were you in when you were listening to that last night that sparked the...
what happened?
The overall, like, you know what I'm going to do? Like, you're listening to music, which it can be a million different things. You can be happy, sad, you know... vengeful. There's a lot of emotions that connect. All emotions connect to music, right? So what headspace were you in? You're like, I'm going to carve Ireland here for a second.
There's been things of, you know, last Thursday, obviously what happened to me, I was getting roasted as my team got my heart ripped out of my chest. So that's obviously there at that. And then with all the chip things in my mind that I was being ridiculed for not like allowing
what?
Or being mad about the chip thing. And so therefore, I was just like, all right, cool.
Well, the chip thing
to
Mace agreed with. Mace agreed with her on.
Mace did. I was, so each morning when I come in here, I kind of scroll through where I left off the last day on social media to kind of just see where it is. And more people were on our angle with just like, it's chip. It's a chip in the sense that it's close enough that we're going to call it a chip.
What I saw was more, it's not necessarily a chip aisle, it's a salt aisle.
Yeah.
As in basically everything salty.
There's
is there.
Nothing on that aisle that
I think Big
isn't
E
great.
Took a photo from a gas station claiming that the Cheetos were with everybody.
Are you a meat
and
stick guy
that,
from the gas station? Go ahead, Amos.
I was going to say, pretzels chip. Are also in that aisle, and chip. They're not
for
chips.
The, for the purposes of yesterday, it was.
Are you a what?
A meat stick guy? You know, like the beef
Slim
jerky
Jims.
Things. Not Slim Jims are a very specific, like, but there's so many other things. But yes, generally speaking, there's some more gourmet additions. Have you ever gone to the liquor store that has like the tub where you open, you like pick one out?
Not even just. Well, okay, you're saying the raw, not raw like, ones, but they're all
wrapped.
Together. They're not wrapped.
Right.
Yes, I have.
Those are good.
Yeah, those are all good.
Those are good.
Especially when you're
Did
driving
your dad
sometimes.
Ever bring those home? Did you have those at the store?
I don't know. Yeah, they had those at the store. He didn't bring them home. Those were, there's like a profit loss, right? Like they can go, you're not losing that much on the Doritos and the Twix, but you
the
go get
stick?
Some beef jerky, you get some of any of those that are, especially the ones that are not wrapped. That's
the really fancy gas stations will have multiple different ones. You can get the spicy, they got jalapeno, they got hickory or barbecue. You can kind of pick and choose.
Maybe those are the best when you're on a long drive.
Terrific.
And it's not like a Arco or something like that, and you walk in and everything is more kind of gourmet of that stuff, right?
Like gourmet gas station stuff.
Well, on the East Coast, they have those all the time. It's Wawa and Sheetz, two amazing gas stations.
Bucky's in the South,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Bucky's is great, too. We care about our gas stations over there.
No, they're good. You need a place to kind of make a little pit stop and load up on beef jerky so you have another pit stop. This is how these things work.
Leaving Disneyland yesterday, there's an Arco directly across the street from Disneyland.
Arco,
and it's like basically if you're going to go park, you kind of go past the Arco, and when you're leaving, you pass the Arco. Yeah. I'm just sitting there. I'm like, who has that location?
Pretty good spot.
Oh my gosh,
pretty good spot. I'm sure all the people, dads and the moms leaving, they're so tired.
Doesn't
and
matter.
So
you
over
could,
it. It's like
say $8.75 a gallon, and they're like, just fill it up.
Just fill it up in a $9 chocolate milk to make them shut up in the back seat because they haven't had enough chocolate along the way. Julio Urias is going to be the starter for the Dodgers. It was made official yesterday. You can put him on the list of guys that are going to get that first day. There's some really good ones. Alcantara versus Scherzer is a great matchup. DeGrom versus Aaron Nola. Gerrit Cole against Webb. Hamber Valdez against Dylan Cease. You got Castillo against Bieber. You've got some really great opening day matchups. And it's fun, Slee, because you kind of roll out the red carpet on that opening day. But after that, it's just like, okay, who's going next? Is Dustin May? Is it Clayton Kershaw? It's an honorarium, but it's not particularly meaningful.
Earlier in the week, saw some good quotes from Kershaw saying, I'm excited for Julio to get to do it. I think he'll be great. I think, and he talked about even how much he deserves it. I think this is of course he does.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, obviously an interesting year. We were talking a little bit about this yesterday for Julio. This is the first time that they're basically saying, you're the guy. You're the ace. We go as you go. Mm-hmm. You set the table. You set the tone for everybody else. And that has not been the case. It's not that he didn't have the same. It's not that he didn't have the value. It's just that either Buehler was the one starting with the ball, Kershaw was the one starting with the ball, or all three of them are there, or Scherzer, Bauer. I mean, at that time. But you've had so many different pitchers in this window that Julio has not been the first name that you've talked about. Now he's the first name. That's not to take away value from Kershaw. It's not to Dustin May. All these guys are important, but Julio's the one that's head of the staff.
Versatile, because he has pitched out of the bullpen, because he has been able to throw, you know, close out the World Series a few years ago and all those things. If that's why we're kind of like, yeah, he's good, but he just, because he's filled a lot of different roles, you don't think of him like you think of Clayton Kershaw. Like you think of Clayton Kershaw, first ballot Hall of Famer, maybe the best pitcher in Dodger history. That's a pretty heady space to occupy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think about Walker Buehler, it's, yeah, he throws 100 and he's unhittable, right? You think about Dustin May and he's got this pitch that backs up and made Manny Machado break out laughing when he saw it. It's like, I don't know what to do with that. It's just stupid. Julio just gets you out. And it, not that his stuff isn't terrific, but it's traditional. He locates his fastball and it's, you know, mid to low 90s. He's got a nice hook. He doesn't walk a lot. It's just very traditional good stuff. It's not your eyes bug out of your head when you see him pitch. He just goes out there and locks you up time after time. And I wonder if it's just because it's so consistently really good as opposed to, oh my gosh, did you see that? If that's part of the reason we just kind of go, yeah, he's good, but you don't think of him in that category.
We finished the show yesterday and we were talking about just how important Julio is to Los Angeles, what he represents. He represents more than just a Dodger jersey.
Sure.
He was the face of Mexico for the WBC. It's funny, I saw a lot of tweets when we were done with the show yesterday, and a lot of people kind of saying that there's concern, there's worry about, hey, what if he's not here in a year? What if he's not? And I know we kind of brought it up in the Scott Boras angle of it. No, he wants his guys to hit free agency and everything else. And we were having the conversation of, there's been a couple Dodger guys where you felt like the writing has been on the wall. Man, if we're sitting here a year from today and Julio is playing for, you name whatever team that is,
Padres.
That's a big, I mean, what did I see today? I think The Athletic had something about top 10 things that could happen. It was just kind of like random things that happened. One of them was Seager winning the MVP in the AL, right?
Yeah.
And just winning the MVP. And instantly I'm like, damn, okay. You know, just
Trey Turner might win the MVP in the NL.
100%, right? And Julio could be a Cy Young Award winner for the next couple of years, but you can't let that one get away. We'll see what happens.
Ask Slee. Get on the phone, 877-710-ESPN. It's coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN. That's awesome.
I'm helping you. However, I
help. Appreciate it. That's being a good teammate.
When are we doing Ask Trav Travigan? Bro, people liked Ask Trav.
I liked it. I thought it was good.
What if we did it Mondays?
Mondays and Fridays? And we rotate Wednesdays around. We'll see who else is in the office. We can do that. We could do that. Let's start with John, who says, and this is an oldie but a goodie.
Okay.
Thin, regular, flavored, i.e. garlic, or stuffed crust? Hashtag Ask Slee. Pizza,
thin.
And then hashtag pizza emoji.
Thin.
Thin.
Yeah.
Like thin, like really thin and crispy, or thin like New York thin?
New York thin.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the, that's by far my favorite. I like being able to fold the slice.
Yeah, that's nice.
Okay.
Let's get like a double bite.
And that is, I feel like then you kind of get the full taste of the cheese, the sauce, the toppings, everything else. Sometimes when the bread is too thick, it's just too much bread.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and
that's why Costco pizza is a non-starter for me.
That to me is my favorite slice of pizza.
So I have a question, and I'm genuinely asking because I could be talked into either one of these. Thin to me means like that very thin, crunchy, and like regular, I think, is what you're describing, right? It's not thick like a Costco or a Domino's. It's slightly thinner than that, but am I wrong in thinking that's regular or is that thin?
I think that's regular. I think regular is the one that you're talking about, which is like a normal size is what Slee's talking about.
I like
thin
that too,
is
Slee.
Just a sheet of paper. There's no bounce on the crust.
Right.
It's just
you could hold it
thin.
Like this and it would stay straight.
But wouldn't you say most pizzas are not New York style? Like
not New York style.
That the crust of a New York pizza is a little
thing.
Bit. Yeah, it's a little.
Its
I feel like it's not the thinnest, but it's also not a regular slice.
I know. I love pizza, and I'm also like I was in the Northeast for a long time, but my favorite kind of pizza is the ones that's like fluffy crust, little char on the bottom, and little char on the crust.
Yeah.
Like the Neapolitan style is the best.
That's good too.
So I have an Ask Slee from Emily in LA Live. She says, so my dad, when we would go to amusement parks when I was a kid, he would offer me an option. I could ride his shoulders going into the amusement park or coming back. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I was a young girl. I was like 6 years old. I would make the wrong decision. Of course. I would say coming in. So if the Sleeces...
Would one of your sisters get the ride out in that scenario?
Yeah, typically. Yeah. Or like, you know, there's uncles and stuff like that. They're there. So if the Sleeces wanted to go on your shoulders for the entire time at Disneyland, would you let them do it?
I'd let them do it, but I'd also tell them, like, look, if at some point I pull a hamstring, something's not there, I'm not feeling healthy, I'm not feeling myself, just know that you're going to come down. So as long as we have a mutual understanding right out the gate that there's a good chance I can't go an hour of holding you up on my shoulders.
Well, the Sleeces are too old, right? You said they're 8 and 6?
Yeah, 8 and 6.
Yeah, that's too big. Like having an 8-year-old on your shoulder for even 10 minutes is a lot.
It's like 2 to 5 is the sweet spot.
Even 5 is, depending on the kid, it can be
a lot. By the way, some of these families out there, God bless them how they do it. I mean, you got these parents. You'll have a mom with one of the kids, like a 1-year-old,
Bjorn.
Right?
Baby Bjorn.
Yeah, front of her and on whatever it is. And then she's got the stroller with two kids on there. And then the dad is holding the 6 backpacks because he's got to make sure that he has everything.
Reason that biologically we're designed to have kids at a very young age. You need a lot of energy. You need to be strong because it's a ton of work.
They're making it happen.
You can at 16.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm not recommending that. I'm just saying that there's a reason that biologically that works. And here's the thing. And this is the trick that you had sisters, so you're kind of in a pickle. You're taking your kids out on the shoulders, not to be nice to your kids, but so you can get them out of the damn park.
Yep.
Right? You have them up there so they don't run into the gift shop, the candy shop, and all these things. And you just have to constantly corral them. If I have them locked on my shoulders and the other one's strapped into the stroller, we can finally get the heck out of there.
I'm assuming every kid, the moment they get in that car, they're done. Right?
Even in the stroller, they're done.
Probably that.
Usually even before you get them to the car. Once you're out of the gate, it's like a dart in the neck. It's lights out. It's like, and by the way, as the parent, you want to be lights out because you've been walking just as much as they have.
Yeah.
And you just dropped God knows how much money. You're a little depressed.
And then the question is who's driving the 2 hours to get wherever you got to go from there?
Been negotiated long before you ever leave the park.
Were you the...
Yeah.
I would be the... Yeah.
But it was the pro move by my dad, right? To kind of trick me into having an option about this thing. Yeah.
Your dad's got the tricks.
He had four daughters.
I was going to say, he knows what he's doing. This is a great one, Slee. This is from Porky. And Porky writes, would you rather speak in rhymes or riddles for the rest of your life? Both terrible options.
Probably rhymes. I think rhymes. I think rhymes only because, like you kind of think of it, let's use a genre of music, hip-hop. Right, so hip hop, a lot of them were rhymes. So I would listen to hip hop growing up. Not that I know what the heck I was doing, but I could at least listen to that and in some way maybe enjoy it, appreciate it more than a riddle.
Yeah, but sometimes you're gonna at some point you're gonna be talking to everybody like you're Dr. Seuss, right? I will not eat them in a box. I would not eat them with a fox. I could not, would not greet green.
I would say very little.
I will not eat them, Sam. I am.
I would say very, very little. Let's put it that way. Because what are you going? You going with rhymes or riddle?
I think I'd rather just have my tongue removed. I think that I would rather do neither. Because if you're talking in riddles, now you sound like Yoda. If you're talking in rhymes, you sound like Dr. Seuss. Neither one of these are good, right? Hey, Al, what's brown? What's black and white and red all over? Stop. Just say, hand me the newspaper.
Give me the newspaper.
It's just stupid. Both of those.
Damn, that would get annoying very quick.
Both of them are terrible. You should get the Sleeces and read them Green Eggs and Ham, so you can laugh at my Green Eggs and Ham joke. Because I pulled a verse out of thin air.
No, that was pretty good. That was good.
That's pretty good. Francis in Glendale, and I showed you this picture during the break.
Yeah.
If you were watching the UCLA game last night, you saw this.
So is he? Okay, go ahead.
He's on the Gonzaga radio call.
Okay.
That's a nice sweater.
Yeah. Does Adam Morrison look like his wife forced him to finally take a shower so they could take a nice family photo before Easter? # Ask Slee.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He looks, if you have not seen this photo, Adam Morrison.
He looks younger now.
He looks younger. He looks clean. I think he looks great.
He looks confused a little bit. But.
He does look a little like, what? What's going on here?
Yeah, I saw it during the broadcast, and I was like, yeah, he looks a little out of it. Maybe it's just that he's really tired, but there might have been something else going on.
Well, when I first saw it, you said, hey, look at Adam Morrison. And there was like a few pictures on your screen. I didn't even know that was him. I couldn't even recognize that was him.
Well, when he was playing, especially when he was at Gonzaga, he looked like the lead singer for Motorhead, right? And now that he looks like a dad who's considering a divorce.
He looked like
just like he might have had enough. He might be getting out of this pretty soon.
He looked like a lead singer of a band that wasn't close to making it. They were not even close to making it.
What's the name of that band? Taylor, you might know. Was the Almost Famous? What was the name of the band in that movie?
I think Stillwater.
Stillwater. He looks like the lead singer of Still. Looks like Billy Crudup.
Yeah,
play for the Yankees. He cleaned up, man. This guy went from the Red Sox.
He's meeting clandestinely with divorce lawyers, is what it looks like. I mean, like, she made me get this stupid haircut, and I'm kind of over this, and I want to go back. I want to grow that mustache back and grow my hair out.
Where's my bong? That's what I think of when I think of Adam Morrison.
This is responsible of a look. Emily's favorite show, one of them. I know it's a big favorite of yours, Slee. It's something that I watch, and it's something that I think we've all watched a lot of.
Okay.
The anniversary of The Office today. Coming up next, it's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.